you are the one.
Been an admirer of your work, and give a little background, short background. I'm a scientist interested in quantum computing and quantum physics, and also interested in spirituality and law of attraction. And law of attraction, so much of what you say has a lot of technical material in it for somebody with my mind, okay? And so I get those nuggets out of there, and so I have questions about that.
Good.
And some of those things I know isn't appropriate for this audience, so if you would make a general response and then throw a couple of technical nuggets in it to keep my logical brain, that would be great. So the question is, law of attraction and the vortex, I look at the vortex as a high-dimensional quantum space-time. And so that's a little bit different than the pictures they show on the internet where they show a black hole representing the vortex or something. So it's a high-dimensional version of that, which you can't really represent. And so the question is, can you explain to me and to this crowd what's the relationship between quantum physics, quantum thought, the vortex, and law of attraction in a way that's useful for this crowd?
The easiest way to explain anything is by defining something in a logical enough way where behavior can be applied that attracts measurable results.
Okay.
And the entire universe is about that. In other words, there is nothing illogical. You can't find anything that is illogical no matter where you look,
mm-hmm.
as you look into science, because
right.
if it's illogical, it doesn't exist.
Right.
And so the thing that our emphasis on law of attraction brings to those like you is that it causes you to trust your own ability to run your own experiments.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the thing that is most compelling about it, this is the nugget that we expressly want to give to you, is that when you are running your own experiment, you have the freedom of not having to stay within the guidelines that have been previously established,
right.
that have at their basis a premise that is different from the one you are looking for.
Okay.
The thing about science that is so limiting is that you have to assume that all of this is now true and.
Right.
And a whole lot of what science claims is true isn't.
Right.
In the sense that they mean it. It's true in the sense that it's proving itself out.
But, it's an evolving thing, yeah.
But why is it evolving? It's evolving because someone is giving attention to it.
Right.
And so if science could just accept that anything that they hypothesize can be proved,
mm-hmm.
that's really what we would like science to understand.
Right. That's what I'm trying to do here, too.
Anything that they can define as a premise that they would like to prove is provable, but not because it has been condoned or endorsed or even helped by some sort of outside influence.
Right.
It's that you get what you think about.
Right. Right.
And so, what else?
Well, I've had sort of this, I mean, it's been like my path. It's been a charmed life, so law of attraction has definitely been a natural part of my life through my whole life. And so I just want to understand it at a deeper, as deep a level as I'm capable of it, and then reinforce it with other people.
That's the tripping point.
Okay.
We want to get in there before you said it.
Okay.
Because your ability to expand and prove to yourself is huge.
Right.
But where it breaks down is in the then needing to prove it to another who...
I would say share it more than prove it.
Well, what does it require? This is a very good question,
yeah.
and fun.
Yeah.
How much of a consensus has to occur before your personally proven hypothesis is accepted by...
Yeah.
How much is required?
It's a personal, but it's a group thought of some other people that are sharing the same idea. So I'm just sort of like collecting these ideas and kind of talking about it in a collective way.
Oh, that's co-creating at its
best.
Yes,
so, yes.
And so when you get into a cooperative group like that, so the premise of your group, it's easier than it seems,
yeah.
has to be all things are possible. Do we have a consensus about that?
Yeah.
And if you do, then as you define a direction that you want to go, so what's the emotion that is the general basis that would provide an environment where the grid would start filling in, and what a room to be in.
Right.
In other words, if you can get a group of thinkers together and you can get to that core consensus of possibility,
right,
and stay there long enough that the grid starts filling in,
yeah,
you could write papers.
That's what I'm doing. Yeah, absolutely. What is that?
Let's define.
Well, I'm kind of asking you the same question. Well, I have my model, and you know what it is because you're... You already know what my model is. So my question is it right or is it...
Of course it's right, but let's enhance it. What's the emotion? Let's just start there in that general place. So you've got the room full of bright minds gathered.
Absolutely.
They are open to possibilities.
Right.
What is the perfect vibrational, emotional consensus that would provide...
Yes.
An environment where the grid fills in, the grid fills in, the grid fills in, the grid fills in.
The linchpin that I use for in when I talk to people about this is that thoughts are quantum things. They're not in the brain. Quantum things is the most... You're talking about non-physical reality. So for a lot of people, that's pretty vague. Mm. And so
But when the grid fills in, it's not non-physical.
That's correct.
So the evidence comes fast for those who are patient.
Absolutely. So what I do is I add a little bit of realism to the people who are just getting started by saying thoughts are quantum things, and therefore, since they're quantum things, there's this basis in quantum physics and quantum math, high-dimensional math, that is even more real, even though it's non-physical because we can't touch it. But there's a reality in quantum math and quantum physics, which has been really booming in the last 20 years. So it all of a sudden it starts using that as a, this science has a way of starting to talk about this, and so maybe it's more real than I originally thought.
That's all really, really good, but it's logical and thought.
And that's exciting.
All right.
So there's the emotion that you were looking for.
So now you use another, is it fun?
Oh, absolutely.
Fun and exciting. And that's the basis. And interesting.
Absolutely.
And so how does it feel to discover or even think you've discovered a new inroad into something? How does that feel?
It's exactly what you're already saying to everybody, and I congratulate your ability to be able to talk about it without having to get into high-dimensional math. Okay, so my perspective is I'm just trying to get, as a scientist, I'm both a spiritual being and a scientist. You know, God was the greatest scientist there was, or engineer there was, because created the whole universe, right? So I have that laughing thought about God.
Well,
and
nothing is more delicious than to find this core belief.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then to be present when it fills in for the first time in a new area. In other words, that's what discovery is.
Yeah.
These are the words we would use.
What if everybody believed this?
These are the words that we would use in the small group that you've gathered together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We would say, isn't it fun to be privy to the discovery of concept?
Yes.
To the discovery. We would use that word.
Absolutely.
We would use the word discovery, because when the discovery occurs, now here's the part that the spiritual part of you will understand that the scientific part of them may or may not understand.
Absolutely.
And it's something that Esther is beginning to understand as she's paying more attention to what's going on with Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
Esther will find herself thinking about Jerry, and then she takes great delight in his explaining to her that it's because he was thinking about her. And who can tell who was thinking the thought, because they rendezvoused there together.
Absolutely.
And so as the inspiration comes, the 90% brain thing that we were talking about earlier, there are a lot of non-physical partners who know where the next logical step is.
Right.
That in your backing away from the intensity of the scientific discovery, if you get into more fun, if you get into more ease, as you get into more feeling of frivolous even discovery, you will put yourself in the place where you will be the receivers of the inspiration, because the source within you is just one step ahead of you. Only in this sense, you've put it all into the vortex, but once it spins into something that is measurable.
Right.
And then you've got to find a way to allow that measurable stuff to get into your grid where you can comprehend it and articulate it in a way that is satisfying.
Which I regularly do. I think I'm a great manifester.
We think so, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
We think so, too. So that's the emphasis that we would put on it.
Okay. So have a lot more fun in the creation and the discovery. And I would say in the sharing as a fun thing.
Yes. And isn't that just...
Which I do.
Isn't that where the tricky part comes?
Okay.
There are not that many really fun scientists. Because
they tend to be... Yeah, I'm probably outside the norm in that regard.
They're just not that fun about it because they're so determined to drag everything. Oh, the burden... The burden of dragging all of that forward and making it fit with the new piece. Because a lot of it doesn't fit.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of it doesn't fit.
Yeah.
But you're in a unique group because you're looking at it differently.
Yeah,
you're not dragging as much forward.
We're leaving the door open for all these great things to come in. Yeah, so any last words of advice?
Have fun with it.
Oh, absolutely.
And be deliberate. Uh-huh. About who you invite to your party.
I hear you.
Because there are those who are conducive to the grid filling in and those who will keep it from happening.
I've had direct experience about that recently, so thank you, yes.
That's it.
Thank you.